Would you please bow your heads for the prayer of illumination? Blessed are you, Lord God, King of all creation. You have taught us by your word. Open our hearts to your spirit and lead us in the paths of righteousness. All praise and glory be yours forever. Amen. The scripture today is from John 14, 1 through 6, the New International Version. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God. Believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks.
Now we are going to pivot, as we did with our scripture reading, to focusing on this promise that Jesus makes here in John 14. And what we've been doing over the last few weeks is looking at some of these foundational promises of God in the scriptures. And in a world where promises get broken all the time, it's good to know that we have a God who keeps his promises to us. And today's promise speaks directly into one of humanity's deepest fears, where Jesus says, I will come again. That's his promise. As he ascended, as he went up to heaven before his disciples, he promised that one day he would return, that he would come again. Now, I'll be honest with you, today is a little bit heavier topic as we move into it. We're talking about death and what comes after death and the hope that Christians have in Christ. But sometimes the heaviest subjects can lead us into our greatest hopes. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus spoke openly to his disciples about his coming death. In Mark's gospel alone, Jesus refers to his impending suffering and death three different times. He says, the Son of Man must suffer, be killed, and after 3 days rise again. You know, each time Jesus said that to his disciples, they didn't want to hear that. And honestly, we don't like talking about death either. But there's so much living that we have to do. You know, when we gather here in here today, we probably didn't think we were coming to hear somebody talk about our impending death. I mean, we look out and life is going and life is good, and we don't think a whole lot about it most of the time. Death feels like this thing that's always out there, it's far away, until suddenly it doesn't. You know, the first death that really impacted me in my life was the death of my grandfather. I was around 7 or 8 years old when he got sick with terminal cancer. Now, he was cared for at home by my mom and her sisters and my grandmother. And I remember going and visiting him in his bedroom while he was dying. And it was so scary to me as a young child, seeing my grandfather, who had once been so full of life, to now just be suffering. And then there came a point where he was hospitalized near the end of his life. And back in the 80s, that's the decade when I was about that age, kids usually were not allowed in hospital rooms. Y'all remember that? And so after school, I would go to the hospital with my mom and my dad, and I would have to sit downstairs in the lobby of the hospital waiting on my family. I didn't have a cell phone. I didn't have a tablet. You know, I was just barely at the age of reading, and so there wasn't a lot to do but sit in those hard plastic chairs for what felt like endless hours. Sometimes I remember I would walk outside in front of the hospital and I would look up at this huge building, and I knew that my grandfather was on the third floor, and I had my mom point out to me one time which room he was in. And so sometimes I would walk out there and just look up at the room, just wondering what was going on inside there. And then I was at school one day. It was in the middle of the day, and I heard my name called out over the intercom at Vardaman Elementary School. It's probably one of the only times my name ever got called over that intercom. But I knew something was wrong, and I knew probably what had happened before anybody told me. And sure enough, my mom was there to pick me up, and she shared that my grandfather had died. And I never saw him again. Y'all, death is a part of our human experience, isn't it? It's part of life. Aging, our body's aging, disease, suffering, loss. It comes for every one of us eventually. And then there are those unnatural realities of death, like accidents, violence, tragedy, which make it even harder, doesn't it? We do everything we can to avoid death, delay death, ignore it, or even to outrun it. I heard somebody say recently, there's not enough organic food to keep you from dying. It's true. There's not enough hand sanitizer that you can put on your hands to make them immortal. And there's not enough Botox that can keep gravity from taking its toll on your flesh. At some point, all of us are reminded that these bodies, they don't last forever. When you're young, you think you're invincible, don't you? I mean, when I was in college in my 20s, we ate gas station burritos every night at 11:30. We were not thinking about the consequences of that stuff. You think nothing can stop you. And then you hit your 40s. And one wrong pillow can ruin your week. And then in your 40s, your doctor starts telling you things like, we need to check that heart. We need to schedule a colonoscopy. Ooh, boy. How about that for a 45th birthday present? That was mine. But it reminds you, all of this, that these bodies are only temporary. Jesus knew his earthly life was coming to an end. He knew he would suffer and he would die. But he also knew that death would not be the end of his story. And eventually the disciples, they would realize that too. Because Jesus promised that he would die. He promised that he would rise again. And that's exactly what happened. We serve a God who keeps his promises. And in John 14, Jesus adds another layer to God's plan. And these are the words that we often read in funerals because they're filled with hope. Jesus says, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. I go and prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you," Jesus says, "I'll come again. And I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." What makes these words so powerful is that Jesus fully acknowledges that he's leaving them. He will die, he will rise, he will ascend to the Father. But notice what he adds. "I go and prepare a place for you. And I will come again for you." Now, Jesus couldn't be any clearer here. One day he will return. One day he will complete God's plan. And one day everything will be made brand new again. And here's why we can trust that promise. Because the same Jesus who said, "I'll suffer, I'll die, I'll rise again," is the same Jesus who said, "I will come again." Every promise he's made has been fulfilled so far, except this one. Death and suffering, we know as we read the scriptures, were not God's original design for us. They entered the world through sin and brokenness. Genesis, it begins the story of humanity being in a garden paradise created by God that is filled with God's presence. There's nothing separating the people of God from the presence of God. And then when you read the end of the story in the book of Revelation, it ends with humanity again in a garden paradise, full of God's people, permeated with God's very presence. You see, the story of Scripture is moving toward restoration. That's the plan. Life with God forever. If you've recently received some difficult health news, if fear and anxiety about death have consumed your thoughts lately, or if you've simply never thought much about it at all, this promise of Jesus is for you. It's for every one of us. Jesus will come again. He will make all things new, and those who belong to him will be with him forever. If you truly think about it, if you truly believe in this promise, how would it change the way you live right now? What difference would it make in your life? Maybe we wouldn't cling so tightly to this world as though it's everything. It's all that there is. Every person you meet would matter just a little bit more if you believed in this promise. Every soul matters to God. Y'all, that changes how we see people, doesn't it? It changes how we grieve when we lose someone we love. When we stand beside the casket at a funeral, you'll often hear someone say, "That's just their body. That's just the outer shell. They're not here anymore. You see, for Christians, that's not just sentimentality. That's hope. The hope is that the soul is with God. The true essence of what makes us who we are, while the body is left behind, the soul is with Jesus, waiting for his return, when he will gather up all of us. So we still grieve, we cry, we ache deeply when we experience death. But we do not grieve without hope, the Bible says. Y'all, this promise belongs to those who belong to Jesus. Jesus doesn't offer us some vague optimism. He offers us himself. So if you want to face death with hope instead of fear, then place your faith in the Lord Jesus. Follow him. Trust in him. Because the promise of eternal life is not found in positive thinking. It's found in a person. And his name is Jesus. And in a world where promises get broken every day of our lives, we have a Savior who keeps his promise. And our Savior says to us, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And I am going to the Father, he said to his disciples. And if I go, I will come again and take you to be with me. So because he lives, we can face both life and death with profound hope. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we thank you for your promises to us. When we become consumed with this life and forget what is eternal, lift our eyes to you. When fear and anxiety about death creep into our hearts, remind us again of your promise, Lord, that you will come again, you will make all things new. Lord, I pray that you would plant this hope deeply in us through the power of your Holy Spirit. Teach us to trust you fully and to live with confidence, courage, and hope. And God, today we want to pray especially for those that have never placed their faith in you, whose lives are filled with anxiety and fear about what comes next. God, today I pray that they would turn to you, that they would open their hearts to you, that they would trust and believe in you. God, I pray that they would confess their need of you, saying, Lord, I need you. I know that I am a sinner. I place my faith in you, Jesus, for I believe that you are my Savior, and I want to receive the eternal life that you want to give to me. Jesus, I invite you to come into my life and save me. Lord, that prayer, that turning to you makes all the difference in how we live and ultimately how we die. So Lord, help us today to trust in you. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. We've heard God's word, and I pray we respond to it. And we go forth today to live with the hope that Jesus Christ gives us. And if today you placed your faith in Christ for the first time, I want to know about that. So please see me after the service. I'd love to talk to you and pray with you more about that. And I want to send you forth with this benediction this morning. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and fill you with his peace. Amen. God bless you.